thing for about a month before the lockdown. So she's spent a year now working remotely from home. We're going all a little stir crazy. Still have a tree sitting on top of my garage from the winter storm last week.
Oh, wow.
It's not doing any damage. I mean, it looks like it squished the gutter a little bit, but it was a pretty good tree. The tree guy estimated it to be about 50 feet in height. I can't give you the diameter.
Wow.
When it hit the edge of the roof at the gutter, the upper portion broke off and is laying across the crown of the garage roof, which is attached to the house, but it doesn't look like there's any damage to the roof, at least that exposes into the crawl space or the attic space. There's maybe some disruption of the roof right at where it hit at the gutter, but we won't know until they can get out next week and cut the dang thing down.
Wow. You're lucky.
Yeah.
Some people lost, I mean, Westland has lost, I don't know, 2,000 trees or some stupid number like that. It's crazy.
It just looking at the piles of debris is just unbelievable. We didn't have power at the house for just about a week. We missed the brunt of it. I had to go up to Washington State on Thursday for a Friday meeting. So my wife and I left Thursday late morning, early afternoon, and we're just ahead of the storm. I mean, we got through the gorge. It was a little snowy, but that was about it. Went up through central Washington, which was just kind of a normal winter. After I was done with that, we went up, spent a day in Leavenworth, and then coming back, the gorge was closed, so we were routed over Snoqualmie to the Seattle area. Nothing really bad until we got down close to the Oregon border, and then it was just no more than 30 miles an hour. The cars were going sideways.
Wow.
And I just couldn't believe we got off. We went, came I-5 to 205 and then up Salamo. And the trees were just, you know, coated in ice. It was gorgeous at the same time, a slalom obstacle course to go around all these things and avoid crashing into trees, with some of which had already fallen.
Yeah.
And then got to the house and everything's dark and it's like, oh. So we stuck it out one night and then went to the Marriott.
That's good. You know, those that could get out, I'm glad they did, because some people are still without power, I'm told. I can't confirm.
The headline this morning was something like about 38,000 still without power. And I haven't looked at the PG outage for a couple of days now, but that looked like there's still a couple of thousand in Portland, or Westland rather, as of Tuesday. So today's Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, today is Wednesday, yeah. The days are really running together. I mean, geez.
Hello.
Sorry, Tom. This is all new. We are streaming live YouTube. So right now you guys are streaming live YouTube. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
Even though the meeting hasn't been called to order yet, when you get ready to call the meeting to order, Tom, let me know when you're going to do that, because then I have to start the record button for the actual recording that occurs, okay?
Okay. I haven't said anything I'm ashamed of yet.
No, you haven't. I just wanted to let you know, since it's all kind of new for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If we're basing it on my cell phone, we've got about 3 minutes, but at the moment, I don't see a quorum unless we get a few more people logging in the next few minutes.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for the heads up. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you guys all know.
I'll have to review the tape to see what I said.
Don't think you said
it. I just started it, so it's okay.
That must be Michael, who just popped up, who's still showing muted. Hello, Chris.
Hello, hello. Sorry, I look so blue. I don't have the round lighting.
Okay, I used a blurred background. I'm sprawled out on the bed because my wife's got the other spaces occupied with her remote working. And we may get interrupted by one of the cats walking across the keyboard. We'll see.
I'm still looking for, I had all my notes in one spot. It got moved today too. So I'm still looking to see where all my prep stuff was.
I printed out the agenda and I guess it is your draft of the last meeting notes, as well as the info on our, at least the names of our new people. Which the cat's deciding to walk on and curl up on, I think. I show 5:59, so we'll give it another minute and a half.
Oh, good. I'll run to the other room. There's one other place I can look.
That's fine. I'll hold off till about 6:02.
Okay, so... All right, got him.
Tony, are you on? Nope, there's another.
Yeah,
place.
I'm here.
I think we're
here,
okay.
Tom.
I think we looks like we just got four of our people. So anyway, we cut it. It's a quorum at this point. How many do we have appointed to the committee at this point? Is it six or seven?
I don't have the new list. Sorry.
Okay. Well, either way, it looks like we've got at least four here, so that would be a quorum, even if it was seven.
Okay, I started the recording.
Okay. Then, hang on a second here. Thank you, Kat.
Chairman Thomas.
Okay, let's go ahead and start February 24, 2021 meeting of the Public Safety Advisory Board for the City of West Lynn. We'll call this to order at 6:01 p.m. Let's start with some introductions. My name is Tom Friedland. I am the current chair of the advisory board. Been with the board now since about 2011. My background is I work as in full-time capacity as a chiropractor. I do a fair amount of medical legal consulting. I also worked in law enforcement as both a regular and a reserve for 33 years. Spent 17 years working with Tigard PD, retired from there about 2010, just because I was at a point where the arthritis was making me think about being a liability as opposed to an asset. Our acting scribe is Kim, Chris rather, Chris. God, where did I say Kim? Chris. Would you introduce yourself since I can't get you right?
Yeah. Chris Duncan. I think I've been on the board a couple of terms now. My background is in community social work. I've also done a lot of, during my time, my career in Alaska, we did lots of earthquake and disaster preparation there. I worked in a community policing project in public housing, and was on the state mental health and substance abuse board up there as well.
Okay. One of our new members, Michael, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael Carlson, a division chief of Clackamas Fire. Excited to be here in my third year living in the fantastic West Glen.
And then, is it Austin?
Yeah, it is. Hey, I'm
Welcome
Austin.
To the board.
Thank you. I work as a registered nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit at Dornbecker Children's Hospital. And I've been at Dornbecker for about 4 years now. And previous to that, I worked at the pediatric ICU in St. Louis, Missouri. And I grew up in Tigard. That's where I'm from. And moved around a bit, but I've been here in West Glen for pretty new here, but just over a year.
Okay. I see our representative from the Tualatin Valley Fire Department has joined us. Stefan, would you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Stefan Myers. I'm a public affairs officer with Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, and excited to be with you guys, even if it's virtually.
Okay. And we have our acting chief of police, Captain Mahua. Would you fill us in on what we don't know about you?
First thing you need to know is I love that mustache, Stefan. That's fantastic. In 1 year's time, that thing is awesome. Like you said, I'm Captain Mahuda with the Western Police Department. I'm the police liaison to this board. I've been a police officer for 28 and some change now. I've been with the West End Police Department for about 2.5 years, and did the first 26 with the City of Portland. I'm happy to be on the board, and off we go.
Also hiding without a picture of herself is the department secretary, Tony, who we interact with on a fairly regular basis because she does all the wondrous things to make things like this happen. Any comments from you, Tony?
I'm Tony Swanberg. I've been at West Glen Police for 10 years, but I've been doing law enforcement support services for 36 and a half years.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. We have an agenda that I hope everyone has had a chance to look at. I'm not sure how much it's going to change or what we're going to follow because when I put this together, we had a few other things as a priority. And then somewhere along the line, we had a winter storm that just kind of threw everything a little off ball. So we'll see where we go with this. Just as an outline as to where we're going on the agenda, do we have an approval or a motion to approve the agenda? That has to be one of the actual board members, not the.
Remember to unmute yourself when you guys do this.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was muted. Okay. So either Austin, I realize some of you haven't been with us before, but I do need somebody to make a motion to approve the agenda.
I will motion to approve.
Okay. Yes. Do we have a second?
Second. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, the agenda has been approved. Our first action we need to do is we have a draft of our minutes from a meeting from a year ago. And granted, there's at least several of you that were not here for that meeting. But does Chris, you wrote it, I read it, I didn't find anything to change in it. Do we have any changes or suggestions of anything in there or can we get a motion to approve it? By the way, this reflects a recorded recording also of the meeting that was made as an audio recording at the time of the meeting back February last year. So there is another record of it.
I'll make the motion to approve.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Or better yet, all aye. Anyone opposed? Assuming that, we can move on to our next status, and that's kind of where are we with this board after a year now at this point? Things have changed a little bit since the last time we met, and I know that the city council, I hope, has had some feedback for us. Captain, do you have some insight on what the city council expects of us for this new year?
I don't have any official word from as a message from the board to us. I actually thought our newest counselor, Bialystowski, would join us tonight, but I don't see him here, so he can address that. Certainly, in the Chris, you have a question?
Oh no, go ahead when you're finished.
Certainly, in the week of COVID and the wildfires and the now ice storm that has ravaged through West Lynn, and the loss of Judy Weckman, who is our mapping neighborhood coordinator. Certainly disaster preparedness / emergency management / mapping neighborhood, I think should be a priority for the board. It's just a recommendation as a liaison.
Okay. I think if, go ahead, Chris, you had did a question or comment, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, just a comment. I too am kind of disappointed our city council member is here, but I had a long conversation yesterday with the mayor. I went to the relief center that was set up for people that were might possibly still be without power and needing assistance. And, you know, the discussion that we had, and I shared with her my sense of things, in that we now have there is now a police oversight task force that is likely to continue from all indications. And, you know, there is a traffic safety advisory board. And so in looking at the old charge that we had, which had crime written throughout it and nothing, very little reference to disaster, it seemed to me that even shifting into a new name and a rewrite of the purpose of this group should be one of the first orders of the day. And just as you were saying, Peter, that seems to be a role that we can definitely fill, because I certainly have a lot of ideas and notions about how we can systemically, you know, to make recommendations of how we can work both from the community level on up to the city systems level, to be sure that when the next one rolls around and we know that there will be either fire in summer or more of this type of climate related wind and ice challenge in the winter, we can maybe next time be not so hard hit. So it seemed like things related to cars and car safety should shift over to traffic safety. Activities related to crime should go over to the police oversight. And we look at the health and safety that of our citizenry and make recommendations from there. So that's the conversation we had. She was very much said that they're thinking along the same lines. And I was going to volunteer to kind of work with Rory on some new language so that there would be no confusion in the future about the role that this group takes in relation to the other appointed groups. There seem to be now some better lines of, you know,
we have in the past gotten inquiries that really didn't fit within our profile, that we were sort of the point of contact for the public when they had a complaint regarding something with the police department. And I think you drafted in the end of the year report some issues regarding the likelihood of changing, or not really changing, because we've sort of taken on the mantle of certain projects, but maybe looking at redefining it or changing the language of how we're described in the charter. And that may be a process that's just going to have to move forward over the next couple of months with the city council taking that. I would say at this point, if we're looking at what we have taken on, we should be looking at those types of issues, like the emergency preparedness. The teen driving issue is another one that's near and dear to my heart. And move forward in that fashion while we are trying to, in essence, reinvent our or match our mission statement to what we are actually doing. And that may take a while for the city council to make those sort of changes.
Well, I'm willing to work, you know, with our designated council person on that.
Okay.
I'm just putting myself forward for that, if that's
okay.
Everyone else's.
I think what we'll need to be doing is looking at how we're going to be able to implement some of these ideas and projects in this digital format at this point. And that's where we have to go with some of the other things on the new business. I assume for the immediate future, we're going to be doing these web-based meetings. The one plus to it is that we don't have to drive to one particular location. We just have to remember to log in at a particular time. I think my thoughts anyway, are for the moment, is to stay with our last approved meeting cycle, which is meeting on a monthly basis, at least for the first quarter, as we kind of adapt to this and as we kind of get our feet back up. We haven't been doing anything for the last year, and I'd say within the last week or so, the interest in emergency preparedness is probably going to be considerably higher than what we've seen in the past. So with that thought, we were previously looking at trying to establish sort of subcommittees addressing the areas that we have big focus in: map your neighborhood and preparedness, the teen driving program, which at this point is still on hold due to COVID. So maybe put that on a back burner for the moment. What have we gotten anything in regarding the Map Your Neighborhood or preparedness through the email? Do we have somebody who's checking that? I don't even remember what the email address was. Judy was the one who was handling that most of the time.
All of the items that was physically handed out during this meeting are now been stored at the police department. I have not been checking the email. I'm not sure.
We had an email that was tied into the city's website where they could submit information or requests regarding the Map Your Neighborhood. And I don't know where that went. I don't know how it was logged into, and if anyone
actually, that was a Gmail account, and I think it was one that she had set up. I don't, it wasn't a city one.
Okay.
So that might be something you guys need to maybe we can work out to figure out how to get an email address if people are interested in that still.
Well, that, or she can give us the email and the password and transfer it over to us.
Yeah, that's true. She could do that.
Hey, Tom.
Yo.
Just for Michael and Austin's, and are you guys familiar with the Map Your Neighborhood program? I mean, you guys are in Madison and fire and perfectly suited for that, but I wonder if you knew what the program is about.
Just a little bit.
It seemed like, from what I read, I get the gist of it, just from what I've read in the email, but I really don't know, you know, what we're doing as a committee to implement that or to, you know, roll that out or advocate for neighborhoods to do that. But yeah, I think I get it. I think sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I tried to put a bit of a synopsis in the email I sent out a couple of weeks ago, just as a brief overview. What we have done as a board or committee have been literally hosting classes. We get an inquiry. Somebody in a neighborhood wants to put on a program for Map Your Neighborhood to talk to the neighbors to establish who has what skills and create a community that will function or survive during a disaster situation. Let's take the snowstorm of a week or so ago, no power. You know, does your neighbor across the way have a generator? Does somebody have a chainsaw if you've got a tree to cut down? What resources do you have to draw on? Does somebody have some medical skills? And it's just creating a small self-sufficient community to survive when our normal first responders are either unable to respond or overwhelmed in the response, because it may take days before somebody can do anything about it. We have hosted these meetings for, yeah, it's at least 10 years that I've been involved with the safety board. The booklet that's passed out, we have that in a hard copy. TVFNR has it on their website as a PDF. Is that the same document that we use on the classes? It's about an 8-page document, Stefan. Do you know?
Yeah, that's correct. Also, the county has a link on their website, and they can actually give you hard copies if you need it.
Okay. So we have...
Judy and I also, Tom, Judy and I also developed a kind of a condensed a script that we found was even more helpful than just going item by item by the book when we're doing the presentations. Actually, it was neighborhoods that hosted, and then we would go out and do the presentation. And we were more the facilitators of the discussion rather than the whole thing.
Okay. Is that something that has any interest for Austin or Michael as far as getting involved or having any input or partaking in some of the facilitation of these preparedness programs with neighborhoods? I simply asking if there's something you might want to partake in or where your interest on the board falls.
Yes, I would like that.
Okay. My thoughts are that we'll try and get the email information from Judy, who was our go-to person on the program. I'm sure we've got a number of requests. If not, we'll have to create another email inquiry on it. If we've got the material in digital format, I know the DVD portion of it is available online on YouTube on a couple of different places. And I guess it certainly could be done in a virtual setting, presuming that we can get, you know, people within a particular neighborhood to partake. And we'll just have to see what we can get as far as interest in that here, and then maybe look within the next month or so of setting up a series of virtual classes on it for those that have expressed an interest. But we have a few steps we probably have to take, and we have to revisit this at the next meeting before we can look to set up anything. At least that's my thought. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've got one, Tom. Yes. I've been thinking a lot about it.
We've had a lot of time to think.
Yes, yes. Well, especially in view of the experiences that people had this last week, I think it would be very prudent for this group to host something of a listening session about and allow the community to come in and chime in at our next meeting to share about what they felt, you know, were doing. Maybe some of those had already gone through the MYN and tell how they applied it. You know, what worked and what didn't. Let's have a community degree, host that. Not only does it give people a chance to kind of share, gee, I wish this had been available or not, and provide kind of a little roadmap for how we can work with the city to have a few more things in preparation ahead of time, but also it just gives folks a chance to kind of also share what worked. And then also it gives us a chance to plug the program that's been out there that we've been trying to sell for years.
Right.
You know, we could have get better prepared, but, you know, getting the word out about this, even though we've gone the neighborhood association route, word of mouth, you know, in the water bill, different avenues, we still don't have the coverage that we would have liked. So that is my recommendation for the next meeting, to invite the community to share how this all went down for them.
So let me just, you're saying, your suggestion, if I'm understanding it, that our next meeting, which would be the end of March, mm-hmm. rather than doing our normal type of meeting, we make that an open session for the community to ask us about those issues, get feedback from them, and use that as a tool to encourage participation in the Map Your Neighborhood moving forward.
Yeah.
My only question to that is, waiting a month, is that too long, or should we be looking at something even before then? Because
that's
as time passes,
break.
That urgency drops some. I admit right now I've got a tree sitting on my garage that'll be there for another week. But once that's off there, am I going to have any real driving priority to think about preparedness if I don't have that reminder staring me in the face every time I pull up to the house? And my thought is, do we wait till the next meeting, or maybe do we try and schedule something before then? Just a thought. I have no problem in waiting and doing it in conjunction with the meeting. That'd probably be easier, but do you think we need to do something before then?
Peter, Austin, what did you say, Austin?
Well, I think if that's correct, the last week of spring break, or the last week of March is spring break. So, you know, I think obviously that, like, holding an additional meeting is, you know, challenging for everybody's schedules, but we might benefit from greater interest doing it earlier if we can find a time that works and avoid conflicts with people's spring break plans. I also think, also, like, if we're gonna, you know, really quickly try and, like, capitalize on everybody's interest, which I think is great, then we should also be, you know, parallel, like, working on what we're gonna do, you know, because we're gonna have all this interest, and then if we don't have, you know, any sort of plan for you know, facilitating these meetings or how else we're going to do things, like, you know, we might want to have the time on our normal meeting to help get those things going.
My one concern about a listening session, Chris, is We're getting a lot of very angry emails, the city is as a whole, about PGE's response. And as long as we make it very clear that our listening session is not about PGE's response, they are not going to be there answering questions about that. It is about Westland's preparedness for this kind of future events and response. I mean, it took us several days to get the ECC turned into a warming, so that kind of stuff. Because we don't want to field a bunch of negative questions about PGE that we're not prepared to answer on their behalf. But you know, that's my only concern about the listening session.
Mm-hmm.
We have a board now that is heavy medical and fire, and that's fantastic. I think it fits right into this wheelhouse about preparedness. It is challenging. To meet on Wednesdays earlier is going to be challenging. There's a lot of the police oversight task force meeting that I'm supposed to be at is actually going on right now. It's from 6 to 8 o'clock at the same time, and they meet every 2 weeks. So if we meet, we have to meet at a different day of the week. And I don't know if that's for people's schedules or not, but that's also a concern.
Okay. Does everybody have access to their calendars at this point? We've moved the meeting around some over the years. Our last setting was on the Wednesday evening at about 6 p.m. I don't know if there's a better day of the week overall or a better time. I don't think we want to do too much earlier than that because we don't want to interfere with a work schedule. We also don't want to extend into somebody's evening hours. We try and keep the meeting right close to an hour. I'm just looking at my calendar off to the side here. March is pretty open if we wanted to try and do a meeting a little bit before the 24th. The question would be what day of the week works best for everybody. Let's just ask him, is there a day of the week that's better for you than Wednesday? Chris, I keep wanting to call you Tim, and I apologize. I don't know why.
I'm pretty flexible right now. Fridays are the only not good, and we don't ever try to do that type of thing. So I'm very flexible.
Austin, how about you?
I'm pretty flexible too. You know, I can work my schedule around it. For the upcoming, you know, month or two, I may need to end up moving things around. That's what I had to do. Later in the evening, like, works better. I work 12-hour shifts, so like 8 p.m. would be way, I could make any day work at 8 p.m. versus 6 p.m. is hard, but I realize my schedule is a little bit atypical, so we don't have to all cater to my schedule. Okay.
Michael, how about your flexibility?
Totally flexible.
Okay. Peter, is there a day that works better for you, since you seem to have the burden of all the meetings and you're stuck?
Yeah, Mondays are typically city council meetings, except following a holiday where they'd be on a Tuesday. I would shoot for Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time would be the quote unquote best for me.
Okay. Well, if we're trying to avoid.
If you guys needed to meet at a certain time, I can bring a different representative from the police department to this meeting too.
Stefan, is there any issue for you from TVFNR?
No, I can be flexible. And if for some reason I'm unavailable, just as the chief said, I can make sure we have a different representative.
Okay. Not having anyone in school, I don't know about when spring break is. Is that going to be the 22nd through the 26th in Westland?
Yeah, that's the
fourth week in March. So yep. If we were to meet, say, do something on the 16th of March, that's a Tuesday, the week before, would that work?
Yeah, that works for me.
On a particular date, I'm not wedded to it.
Well, that would work for me.
Okay. don't know if
it sounds like Peter and Stefan, obviously they can have different representatives, but it sounds like their schedules are the most, you know, they might have more things going on.
Austin, on your schedule on a Tuesday at 6 or 7, how is that going to affect you?
Well, on the 16th, I'm free, so that doesn't affect me at all. And then looking forward, you know, Tuesdays in general work just as good as Wednesdays. So like if Peter said Tuesdays and Thursdays work better for him, I'm fine with that.
If there's no objection, why don't we shoot for Tuesday the 16th at 6 p.m.? If that works for everybody, fine. If somebody's got an objection with that.
Are you doing this instead of the normal meeting then? The March meeting is going to be March 16th?
Yes.
And are you, and is it just going to be some sort of open forum? Because the problem with that is people are going to have to give me their name and address and their email address, I mean, in order to get invited to a WebEx meeting. It can't just be like an open forum. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know in 2.5 weeks if you guys are going to be able to promote this enough for people to have to send me their name and emails ahead of time for me to get them registered and sent an email to the WebEx link.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that this is streaming, what, on YouTube?
It is streaming on YouTube right now, okay. Yes.
But that's one way, or are they able to at least do typed comments on that?
I don't think we monitor that.
Huh?
We don't monitor the YouTube part. It's just streaming.
It's
we
just
don't,
there.
If okay. someone comments, we're not commenting back. They're not in the okay. room like we are.
Okay, that's fine.
How long does it take for, you know, you to send them off? Because I honestly think you could, like, you know, if all of us, you know, networked with people on social media pretty easily, I think we could get enough participants to fill the space of an hour's meeting. And then it's just a matter of, like, Tony, you know, having to get all those emails sent and then sending the links and stuff.
Yeah, because they have to do it by noon on the day of the meeting. But if there's a mass amount of people, I mean, who knows how many people? I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a mass amount or if there's a way to reach out to the people that actually have taken the classes that can participate so they can tell people how it worked for them that type of stuff.
Tony, on the WebEx format, how many participants is the city limited to? Is there a threshold?
I can ask. I don't know if there is or not.
Okay.
This is my first time of doing one of these. So.
Okay. All I know is that on what's the other one? Zoom. You can, depending on what you buy as a commercial participant, it can be, you know, like 50 people or can be logged in or 100. I don't know if we've got some limit on that, but I think it would be helpful if we capped it at a number that wouldn't overwhelm us. So maybe be looking at the first 25 to 40 people that sign up. I'm not sure if where we'd fall on that, but I think that would make it somewhat manageable. That's just a thought. Chris, would you be able to do your modified discussion of Map Your Neighborhood for that meeting? Any other ideas we could show on it?
Yeah, certainly I can. And also I have, you know, kind of some ideas of formatting so that it doesn't go off the rails to areas outside that, you know, we'll structure and look at comments about, you know, like I say, personally, did you feel well equipped yourself or not, you know, things like that. What information would have been more helpful to you to have had? You know, what did you learn from your neighbors that you didn't know before? That helps us understand where the level of education and preparation needs to be.
Okay.
You know, at some point, 72 hours was the breaking point. It's interesting to know even where was the break point when they said, Uncle, I'm looking for someplace else to stay. I can't do this anymore. And, you know, and then just, I think it would be interesting to know where the expectation is too on welfare checks, you know. Expect at some point somebody to be knocking on their door in an official capacity to see if they were okay inside? Should we have encouraged people that have those? You know, one thought that came to me was those that go through the training have those okay and need help signs to put in the window. That seemed to have been applicable to this, especially for people that left. We didn't know whether some people were cold inside. Had it been 20 degrees rather than 39, we didn't know if someone was
okay
suffering. Those are some of the things that I think that we could structure this on a bit, so that, and then using the 3-minute limit.
It may be a little improvisation, but I think we can probably pull something off. And I do want to try and I don't necessarily want to say capitalize on the disaster, but it's kind of what we're doing because it is specifically for the benefit of those that live in our community, how best to deal with that. And it may just be the catalyst we need to get the Map Your Neighborhood. And I hate that name. I've always hated that name.
I don't even use it.
It took me 6 months when I first came on to figure out that it was a disaster preparedness program. I had no idea what they were talking about. I think that's got some potential to it. For our two new members, I'll see if I can find, well, I know where I can find it. The booklets on TVFNR's website for Map Your Neighborhood. There is also a website somewhere in Washington State. One of the cities or the government has the videos for it online and available. So you can at least familiarize yourself with the program between now and the next meeting. That might just be the best way to go. Maybe this is what we needed, a swift kick in our tail to try and do something about this.
It might be worth, I'm sorry, Chris. It might be worth time to have the people read. I've had several citizens inquire about, I think it's called like a citizen response team or something like that, CERT or something like that. And to read up on those programs. Because, I mean, as we've proven here, right, people are going to be on their own for without power. We could be, you know, if it's an earthquake, whatever. And you mentioned welfare checks, or, you know, I mean, when we had to go and help Malala evacuate during the wildfires, it took all of Westland's police, everybody that Lake Oswego could send, the county, all of Malala, and we were going door to door and spray painting driveways, knocking on doors. And that's a Herculean effort. That is not something that, and everybody's going through it, right? So everybody's, it's not like our town is having the ice problem. So welfare checks are going to have to be done by your neighbors, right? To call in and say, I checked on the elderly person next door and they need help. And we, of course, will get there, right? If we got to hump, if we got to hump in with packs, we'll get there. But to go door to door is not realistic. You know, on a deal like this, it's just not. We have three people that work on every shift. We're a city of 26,000 people. That math is terrible. So
one of the things I put in the intro letter that I sent out to our new people was one of the discussions we've had over the years is the difference between the Map Your Neighborhood or self-sufficient type program versus CERT. The one allows you to, as a community, work together immediately as opposed to CERT, which would have to come together and then respond out to areas which may be a challenge. And that's why we've centered more on the community-based program. But there's nothing to prevent us from looking at the possibility of a CERT program at some point. So that's something we might be able to discuss with the community with the next meeting. You point out, Chief, Captain, what it was a challenge even for the first responders, the designated first responders, in dealing with that type of crisis. So I think we have a little homework between now and the 16th, just to be at least familiar with what we potentially can put into play for our modified Map Your Neighborhood.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to offer some insight because, you know, with the area that we serve, there are quite a few areas that do have CERT programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, also Captain Carlson may have some specific Clackamas County insight. But one of the keys that we see is they need someone that is a resource within the city to manage them or at the county level, if that's where it's going to be. When that isn't in place, it seems to falter as far as what the focus and intent is. But that might complement the fact that I know the city council has been looking at an emergency manager position and having that discussion. So those two things might align nicely. But I just wanted to make sure this group was aware of kind of the success ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Is very high when you have an emergency manager or someone dedicated to giving them direction and supporting their organization.
Okay. Any other thoughts on disaster preparedness for the moment?
Well, I, as we prepare for this meeting, I liked Tony's idea of maybe having like one or two, you know, designated people that have already gone through this Map Your Neighborhood training and having there to kind of, you know, help offer input or as a segue to our plug for the program itself.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, did Judy leave you those contact lists, or do you think she might still have them? I can contact her. I've been talking to her, debriefing the past week.
I'll have to check. Would those be in a digital form, like an email list, or would they be in hard form?
You know, I don't know how she had them. I'll give her a call tomorrow and just see.
We have all of the stuff that she gave us. It's in the PD. I just need to know where to go to look.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get in touch with her.
Among other things, she was trying to do a map where it broke down to showing the residents of those that had completed the program. I forgot where the map came from. I think it was from the CIS department, but that may have some of the information on it as well.
Yeah, she updated that and turned it in with some of the resource supplies. She did mention that to me.
So that's probably in the stuff that she gave the department.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then along that line, Tom, if we're going to do this in 2 weeks, we should probably have like, you know, some either ourselves or, you know, whoever puts out like blurbs on social media for the city, or we should have some sort of like, you know, synopsis of what we're doing pretty soon so we can mm-hmm. do it ourselves or have the city put it out.
I forgot her name, the new outreach person with the city that came on board. Either what?
Alicia Schreier.
Okay. If we give her something of a synopsis, can she do something in the way of a release out through the city's social media sites?
Peter, she can't she?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'll see what I can draft on something like that, Chris, if you've got some ideas of what could be in there as well. Could maybe bounce that back for draft purposes before we give it to the city. But yeah, we do need something that's to the point and gets us right on target. We're at 6:45. I would like to get some updates on our two major agencies. Stefan, can you give us a brief synopsis of what's been going on this last year with the city's
I don't know
department, DBFR?
Trying to
sum it down to about a minute and a half.
Yeah. This. Sum it up really quick. It feels like I want to start like a James Taylor song, like we've seen fire and we've seen rain. Okay, so first I do want to report to you guys just on how we've modified, you know, our response since we've moved into COVID. You know, initially that focus was in reserving PPE. So you may see that as we are responding, we are responding in a, essentially it's a Tyvek suit that in most cases is reusable for us. And that helped to reserve a lot of PPE stock. It did though, make some of our community members, you know, a little surprised as it looked like we were arriving to hazardous materials situations when in fact we were just trying to reserve PPE. But you know, we're proud of the fact that that did reserve our stock. We also saw low amounts of firefighters that were diagnosed with COVID early in the response. So that was heartening that a lot of our firefighters were being protected. But, you know, it was obviously a very challenging circumstance going into that transition, as it was for so many. Now, kind of moving into that next step, we've been supporting a lot of vaccination efforts. You know, to date, we have helped vaccinate within our organization over 375 individuals that are now at full vaccination. And then we are actually supporting the vaccination of our city and county partners, as well as some of the general public that gets assigned to vaccination locations. We're helping, for instance, at Nike, Clackamas Community College. We have a location in Wilsonville that just started this week. They're seeing near 700 to 800 people a day because we have a lot of wonderfully trained EMTs and paramedics that can help in providing shots and supporting those efforts. So that's been a great partnership and coming together to help get needles in arms, if you will, and supporting our community. So we're still in that mode and supporting that around. At the same time, we have lots to respond to. As you experienced with the recent ice storm and also with wildfires we had through the summer, it's been busy. Specific to the ice storm, during that time, we responded to over 851 calls in that weekend. I want to say we were at 85 of those were wires down. Obviously, saw a lot of MVCs and unfortunately, wires that came down started quite a few fires. So in West Lynn, we had at least two residential fires that we had to respond to, but we saw that throughout our district. And, you know, those are challenging conditions to both access and then also fight fire. But they did a fantastic job, even in those challenging circumstances. So with that, I guess that's kind of the short of what we've been up to and busy. And we're just greatly appreciative as the community has been so supportive as we've moved through COVID and then through some of these challenging weather experiences. So it's been an honor to serve as it's been a busy one.
Great job, Stefan.
Yep.
Was there another comment in there? Okay. Captain, there's been a lot in the last year. And in so many different directions for the police department. Can you give us a synopsis? I'll just leave it at that and let you fill us in how you want.
I might just send you off to go read the last 40 Oregonian articles, but you know, you can get a good. So yeah, in the last year, we have, it's been one hell of a ride with of course, the fallout for the Michael Fesser case, COVID, the murder of George Floyd, ice storm, wildfires. We have massive personnel turnover. We've terminated a couple of people, and so it has been a whirlwind to be the acting chief during all of that. Never asked for that job, but it's been a huge education piece for us. We are working. Everything is, all of our efforts are working towards earning back lost trust, fixing woefully inadequate policies, We're in the middle, of course, of contract negotiations. We have police oversight that was formed. And we don't know what that's going to look like yet. They're literally at a meeting right now trying to decide what that board will look like, and the powers that they'll have and all those things. So tons of moving pieces. I can happily say that the police department is I've done my number one goal is to get them with their minds not focused on any of that stuff, just focus on going out to the community. And you focus on that, and I'll write all the bad stuff, you know, behind the scenes. And so people are in good spirits. They worked incredible amount of hours when people couldn't get to work because trees had blocked their driveway, and they were cutting up trees on Willie Falls Drive and moving them. I mean, you know, we just jumped in, and I was super, super proud of our team. As we move forward, we got a lot going on in 21. We're going to have a national search for a police chief. They're going to announce it probably in March at some point. I don't know what that's going to yield. I am going to put in for it. And we'll see how it all shakes out. I think that this on a side note for this board, I think what Chris said earlier about the kind of refocusing efforts and just with the talent that we've just, I think just by happenstance have picked up during this last round of community groups. We're heavy on fire and medical. I know Tracy Thomas, who's not here tonight, she's also a nurse. This is a great opportunity for us to kind of reinvent ourselves and be of service to our community in ways that obviously we weren't meeting before with this disaster preparedness piece that the city so desperately needs. And I think now embraces and realizes they didn't need it, that they need it but didn't have it. So I'm excited for all of this moving forward.
Is it how? My only question to you is, did you have, when you took that position, did you have any inkling of what you were getting into?
You've
put your foot in it to no end here and gotten.
You know, knowing where I am today, I'm not sure I would have left the city of Portland, but you know, it has turned out to be an incredible challenge. I was bored in my job in Portland, and I that's why I was willing to leave, and this has definitely taken away the boredom. every day is a challenge, and it's fun. It's not always great, of course, to be called names in the paper to be accused of things, but trying to move an entire organization from its lowest point in its probably in its existence to move it forward out of that and keep it going has been fun. It's been a hell of a challenge, and I've enjoyed it, honestly.
How's the overall morale?
Doing pretty good. Like I said, I want the troops to focus on the troops and getting themselves moving forward. We instituted, we had had it, but we reinvigorated our officer wellness program. We brought in a resiliency training with Dr. Stephanie Kahn, who does probably a lot of you may know her from first responder trainings. We started a peer support team in conjunction with Responder Life. And so, you know, just trying to meet the needs of the officers and the challenges, because, you know, we're all vilified in the paper, but we still got to go home to our kids and our families and our neighbors and our uncles, you know, at the barbecues, and they're asking about all these things, and it's incredibly draining on these people. So we're just trying to move forward, trying to get better.
Okay. I wish you luck. It's coming up on 7 o'clock. Do we have any follow-up comments, questions, ideas, thoughts? We've, I guess, tailored what we're going to be doing for our next meeting. And my hope is that we can turn that into more communities within our city that will be in a better position to just function and survive without having to rely on outside sources. I know personally, was saying earlier, I had to go out of town the night of the storm. I left, you know, before it hit here. We came back Saturday night, and the roads were just unbelievable. And pulling up to the house, and neighborhoods are just dark. We stuck it out for one night and said to hell with it, and went off to the Marriott for a night, and then stayed at a friend's guest room for the rest of the week until we got power. So I think, yeah, there is definitely some things that I would have done differently. And we need to kind of share that and make sure that the rest of our community is better prepared for the next one, because we know it's going to happen again. Something is going to happen again.
I have some information that we can have up to 200 attendees at a WebEx meeting.
Okay.
I think that would be a bit too much to
manage. I know. I think what we need to do is try and keep it down probably no more than about 40, if not less than that. Let me figure out some language that we can have, and then as they sign up or let us know what information that they're going to need for the WebEx, maybe we'll just cap that somewhere around 50 with an anticipated 10% no-show. And, you know, leave it at first come, first serve for the first 50 people, and then from there let them log in. And I suspect we'll probably have a fair number of people that'll flake on that, but we should get a fairly decent turnout with a cap somewhere around there. At least that's my thought.
So I'll need to make sure that I get the meeting notes posted, and then also a draft of the meeting notes, and also the agenda early, because I need to post the agenda 2 weeks before the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try and work on that this weekend.
And Tony, I plan to get these done tomorrow morning, so.
Oh, I know. I can count on you. You're excellent about that.
Well, I don't have as much elder care that was getting in the way last year. Sadly, I lost one to COVID right after we placed her in a
facility. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and the other is living in independently now, so I should be able to devote a little more time to this rather than caregiving.
Well, and I'm also happy to help however we can. It sounds like Tom and Chris here, you know, more familiar with things and, you know, probably more efficient at doing things, getting things done. But I'm happy to help. And if you just want to email things, bounce ideas off, or, you know, get some input, that I'm happy to do that.
I think that's fantastic, and I appreciate it. And yeah, you're in a position. This is the first time you've been with us, and we're just doing a lot of things that we've not done before, or at least doing them very quickly. And I guess that's what we need to be doing. Any other questions? Last minute, good of the order. If not, I think Jeopardy started. I need to go out and get my fix.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.